It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey insider Cody Decker.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's a new week here in Major League Baseball, and it is craziness happening all over the place. We got Mets and Padres. We got all kinds of things happening over in New York. I'm really excited for today's show. Welcome to Big Time Baseball here on Odyssey Sports. I'm Cody Decker, and of course, with me as always, the one and only Tony Gwynn Jr. How you doing, Tony?
I'm well, Cody. This has been starting to get hot now. Bats maybe starting to tick up, but there's still that one guy out in New York that is throwing absolute pellets right now, and I got a first-class seat to see it. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everybody, you can follow me at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. He's at Decker6, and now you can follow this show on Twitter as well. Check us out at RDC_BTB. That's Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And it's starting to get interesting around Major League Baseball, Cody.
It really is. And you mentioned some dude in New York throwing pellets. You got to watch it up close and personal. Jacob deGrom. We talked about it last week. We discussed at length how you and I are completely against any pitcher ever winning the MVP award. And we both 100% agree that Jacob deGrom is your NL MVP. And he showed it to you up close and personal in San Diego. Tony, what did you see?
I mean, I'm at a loss of words for what I saw, honestly. Like, the shit he was throwing up there today, or that day, was... you can't account for it. You just can't. As a hitter, he's throwing 100 miles per hour almost every pitch. He didn't drop below 100 until about the fifth inning. All the rest of his fastballs were 100, 101. He's throwing a slider that's 93 to 94 through five innings. When it dropped to like 91, 92. A slider. And I'm not talking about a little cutter. I'm talking about an actual slider. And then he's got the changeup that's like 91, 92 either. So he's kind of thrown out the curveball. He threw one. And I think he's thrown two all season. And it's the only pitch below 90 miles per hour. And with that, just that three pitch mix alone and the way he commands, Cody, I can't tell you. I haven't seen anybody do that maybe since Pedro. We're putting him in that kind of class right now with the way he has dominated over the last almost decade.
Not just that class, man. He is starting to build like his own class. DeGrom is becoming like a living legend. It's becoming a holiday on social media. Just the only thing, number one trending thing in baseball, DeGrom. Everybody talks about it. Everybody has to watch it. I've never seen anything like it. And there's something you actually mentioned. You mentioned that slider at 93-94. I have faced in my career, I played for 11 years, I think I faced two guys that can throw 101 miles per hour. And when I say 101, I mean they've touched 101. They don't sit for 10 right. straight pitches at 101. Right. It's madness. Like, I don't understand. And you mentioned that 93, 94 mile per hour slider. Put this into context, people. You know, if you're a casual fan or you're a diehard fan, think about when I was a kid. The most feared closer in baseball you could probably say was Rod Beck when I was a kid. Rod Beck threw his fastball at like 92 to 4. That's how hard Jacob deGrom's slider is. We are living in a different world right now, and I don't even know how anyone can even keep up. Even no. Jace Tingler even threw out there, hey, man, look at it. What do you do? I mean, what can you do against this guy?
They asked Jace before the game, before deGrom started. It's like, so how do you plan to attack him? What do you think can have success? And he answered it And I give him a lot of credit. He was so honest. He's like, I don't know. I've never seen it done before. And he continues to have never seen it done before. I'm telling you, there was a certain sequence where, you know, there was some thought that maybe you try to grind DeGrom out, mm-hmm. but then you're hitting with two strikes all night long. And when you're laying off that 93, 94 mile per hour slider, when you actually do see it, guess what? It's still a strike. And so for me, the thing that I am just blown away by, and I'm not even a pitching guy, but even the naked eye, watching him go through his windup, he repeats his motion. It's identical. You can't pick out anything different with his motion. He doesn't have any hesitations. He gives you the same fluid motion every time. And I tell you, man, I walked away so impressed what he was able to do when he the two times he got into trouble. He got into trouble in the second and the fourth. It was like he turned it up a dial. He knew he needed no contact in the fourth, so he got two strikeouts to end that inning. I mean, he was unbelievable. Right now. And by the way, he lowered his ERA from like 0.71 to like 0.62 or something like that.
It is 0.62 as we speak. most unbelievable ERA after 9 starts in baseball history. We are watching something that I don't know if we'll ever see again, man.
Yeah. I mean, especially as they start cracking down on some of the issues, the substance issues. We'll get to that here in a sec, probably later on in the show. But I can't even debate you on that, Cody. We may not ever see anything. And this guy's talking about pitching in terms of the way Brady talks about being a quarterback. Like, he wants to pitch into his 40s, and I'm here to watch. I'm here for it all, because if he's going to look like this and decline at a rate that is acceptable, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch for a long, long time.
Here's the question. He talks about pitching into his 40s. Obviously, that's probably not all that feasible. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but to pitch at this type of dominance. But a name that really comes to my mind whenever I'm thinking about how dominant he is right now is a guy like Tim Lincecum. Tim Lincecum, who had a dominant 3-4 years where he was unhittable, what, 2 Cy Young awards, and then he kind of fell off a very, very steep ledge really quick. Is that something you think that can actually happen to Grom a few years down the road? I hope not. But it's something that does cross my mind.
I have less doubt about him than I do any other pitcher. A, because unlike Tim Lincecum, who was in the lab working on his biomechanics at an early age, DeGrom didn't start throwing to his last year at Stetson. And I think that means a lot. He don't have the wear and tear. And I think he's the type of guy. And here's the other thing that was mind-blowing. I have to mention this. So often now, when pitchers end up having to run or, you know, run the bases, we see that kind of trend kind of go in the opposite way when they get back on the mound, right? They lose command. He, in 2 different at-bats, he hit a ground ball. One of them he beat out. He was rolling down the first baseline, like as hard as he possibly could. He beat one of them out, had to run the bases on the field. There was no sign of any fatigue at any point. And the crazy part, he went 7 against the Padres. If he hadn't been on the IL 2 different stints this year, I'm sure they would have let him go to 9, because he only had like 80-something pitches, low 80s, when they pulled him out of the game. I think this guy is working at a different pace than everybody else. Whatever he's doing in terms of his conditioning, because that was mind-blowing to me. Every time, it's almost like clockwork. Pitcher gets on base, they have some type of pickup the following inning. Just didn't happen. Dude didn't run out of gas. I think he just seems like with the repeatable mechanics, the amount of bullets he probably has left because he didn't start pitching at an early age, I just see him maybe being one of those guys that could pull it off pitching into his 40.
He might be, and I want to see it. I truly, truly want to see it, because he is that ridiculous. Like I said, I think we're watching something that we're never going to see again, and I'm a fan of it. But you mentioned the doctoring of the balls, and I know we're probably going to talk about it a little bit more later on the show, but there was a little video of showing DeGrom going to his glove and going to his hand a little bit, and a few of the players, his teammates, immediately on social media decided to quote tweet the actual video. Tomas Nito immediately said, trust me, he doesn't use anything. Stroman came out and said another thing. It was like five straight players on the thread immediately defending him, and quite frankly, it doesn't even matter if he does or doesn't put something on the ball. You ain't hitting it.
Yeah, I look at this the same way. The whole nonsense about Fernando was peeking at signs that day. Like, it, you catch a still shot, you look at some video in one instance with no type of understanding of what's going on around that video. People can make any kind of conclusions that it was. By the way, it was a Dodger fan, it looked like, that posted that. He might be feeling some type of way because Bauer may be getting hit over the head with some of this. And by the way, even though Bauer's the one that's kind of brought it to everybody's attention, I think that was by design to begin with. But that being said, I'm not buying it. I don't think – I watched that game, and I'm always looking for pitchers doing that as a former position player that knows what's going on. I'm always looking for that. I didn't see anything that maybe caught my eye. I checked that video out. It seemed like a whole lot about nothing to me.
It seemed the same to me. It didn't seem like much. It was grasping at straws at best. Right. And like you said, you know, it was a Dodger fan. A lot of people not a little up in arms about how Bauer is being singled out. And like you said, Bauer's been talking about people doctoring balls for years. He's even thrown out names of certain players. whether or not that's the right thing to do or not, hey, man, to do that without any actual proof is a bit rough. But, you know, he has gone out there and he had his Cy Young year last year, and it did seem as though he was doing certain things slightly different, almost like he was proving a point. Here's the thing. I just don't understand what that point is, and right. I still don't.
Right. It seems like he was pointing out baseball. This is going on. You're not doing anything about it. So here's what you could do, or here's what you can do when you use this stuff. But at the same time, it kind of, and he ends up winning a Cy Young, and that's not to say he was or wasn't, but it certainly seems like it was on a mission to prove a point. And whatever the point was got lost somewhere in the middle of this, you know, kind of transition of baseball figuring out what was going on and actually having proof to actually go do something about it. And when Bauer was trying to bring it to attention, somewhere in between there and then and there, it kind of seem to go awry. We don't really know what the message is at this point. So now he's smack dab in the middle of it because people are looking at him as kind of the poster child of it.
Well, you know, we're talking so much about DeGrom and doctoring baseballs and everything, but here's the thing. They're playing down in San Diego, a team that is still hot and still winning ball games. You have the luxury of watching them every day. Fernando Tatis Jr., does he do something just extraordinary every night? Because it seems like he does.
Yeah, pretty much. He pretty much does. I mean, the one highlight for the Padres in that DeGrom start was his broken bat double down the right field line that really he turned into a double. It was a hustle double. It should have been a single. But the dude, it was like he was living. He was ready for that moment. He wanted all the smoke from DeGrom. And he went out and did what Fernando Tatis Jr. does. Now, because it's DeGrom, that was limited. You know what I'm saying? Like, even for a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr., it was a tough day for most of the Padres. So it's one of those situations, you know, in that particular matchup, you didn't get to see it. But I mean, the following day, I mean, this guy comes off of the kind of the IL one day, missed the first last game in Chicago, comes off of that off day, basically hits a homer to dead center in the first game of the series against the Mets. He pretty much produced three quarters of the offense in the first game against the Mets. He comes back, has another multi-hit game the second day, you know, and then, you know, the Mets pitching staff kind of takes over from there. But Fernando's just fun to watch. He does something every day that has your jaw dropped and almost something you feel like you've never seen before.
Well, good things happening over in Queens for the Mets. They took 2 of 3 out of in San Diego, at San Diego for that matter. They do got the Padres coming back again. They got another series coming up against them, but in between they got 2 games against the Orioles. I don't really see the Mets slowing down anytime soon. What do you think?
They're a good team, man. And this is without them being healthy at all. And you know what? To be honest, almost every team can say that around baseball right now. Nobody's healthy at all. There's so many injuries, more than I can ever remember. At least every team seems to have five or six or seven guys on that IL that can make a difference. So I think with the Mets, the thing that I walked away from the Padre-Mets series, the Padres took the first two, Mets took the last two, is when you get to that front part of the rotation and you're dealing with the likes of DeGrom and Stroman, they do it differently, but they're both artists with the baseball, and they can cause a lot of problems. And that team scores enough. I mean, they may not have their guys in that were supposed to be a part of this lineup on an everyday basis, but the guys they got out there, they compete, and they do enough to score runs. And that's why that team is – it's not a mistake that they're 3.5, 4.5 up in that National League East while everybody else is kind of, you know, not really playing good baseball. But I'm interested to think what you think about those Mets.
You know, I think they've been hurt, like you said. And yes, you could say that about any team in baseball right now. But the Mets, man, I really dig this team. They're young. They're dynamic. They're fun to watch. And let's remember, these first 2 months of the season, who have been the two most anemic players on that team? And that has been Francisco Lindor and McCann. And who have been the two hottest players on that team this last week? That is Lindor and McCann. You knew both of them were going to turn it up. You know Lindor is going to finish this year with very good numbers. It's always going to happen. And everyone was hitting the panic button. Maybe just because he was in Queens now. I don't know. But that's a team that is primed to go, I think, on a serious run, especially with guys coming back. You got Luis Guillorme coming back, who is that type of player, by the way. I know not everybody has seen it the way they've seen it with like Fernando Tatis Jr. And of course, I don't want to sit here and say that Luis Guillorme is Fernando Tatis Jr., but that is a guy that does something quite extraordinary every single day. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a bare hand play. It could be just working in a bat in a huge situation. You know, we saw it in spring training. He had himself a 23 worked pitch at bat walk. Like, the guy is a really special ball player, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring back to that Mets lineup when he comes back.
Yeah, Lindor is starting to get it going too. And it was just a matter of time. There's something about watching guys like Lindor and Fernando Tatis that, you know, I think remind you that you're watching a kid's sport, because they act as though they are children out there. And I mean that in a positive fashion, in terms of they constantly seem like they're enjoying themselves on the field. And that's contagious, and that's fun to watch. Like, you can always watch a game with those two guys and envision yourself being able to kind of put yourself back into that field again. And that's what's fun about him. And Lindor, as I said, starting to swing the bat, he's already emerged as one of their big leaders on the team, just watching them play over the four-game series.
Yeah, he is fun to watch. And yeah, you're not lying. He is fun. He just seems like he has a blast out there, like Fernando Tatis Jr. And he was another guy I want to throw in that ring, another guy that's just fun to watch out there play. Man, Marcus Stroman, I could watch that guy pitch every day. He is a blast to watch on the field.
He's small stature, but he pitches with a huge heart and a huge chip. And he gets out there, he gets to hesitating on his windup and flipping that slider in there. He's got the two seam. He'll four seam. He what was interesting about watching him pitch yesterday was he's kind of got two different attacks. And Cody, you can attest to this as a guy who played, right? Mm-hmm. You got two types of guys, right? Either they work east-west, sinker slider, or you got north-south. You got, you know, maybe a four-seam fastball and a split. But normally that's how they're working. He can do both. You know, he can go sinker slider. He can go four-seam split. He can go with the changeup. Like, and he pitches to really all four quadrants. He's not as overpowering as maybe he was earlier in his career, but he's still got some life to his fastball. And you like guys who got a little moxie on the mound, and he definitely is one of them.
Oh, moxie is a word to use. But yeah, I definitely love everything he brings to the field. I love him on the mound. Not to mention, he's not as quite as dominant as he was earlier in his career, but also he's been adding in more, you know, disruptive timing, leg movement. You know, it's just, he's been fun to watch, and watching him grow as a player. And not only that, grow as a person off the field too. Everything he does off the field, I couldn't be a bigger fan of Marcus Stroman if I tried, man.
Yeah, no, but he's special when it comes. He's the new age athlete, right? He's got other interests aside from being on the field that he finds important, and he's not afraid to speak up on issues. Often he's usually at the center of it, which I respect the hell out of.
Yeah, same. But we're talking a lot about that team in New York. Let's talk about the other team in New York, and it is not quite as positive. They just got swept at home by the Boston Red Sox for the first time in a decade. What can you possibly say about the dumpster fire that is taking place in the Bronx? I don't know what to do. It feels like Aaron Boone has been asleep for weeks. I feel like the team is not throwing well. People are hurt. They're not putting the bat on the ball nearly what they should be doing. This is a dynamic offense, but like you could look at that lineup up and down. It is either you're striking out, you're homering. They picked up Odor. It was just more of the same. Yeah. I don't like what this team in the Bronx is doing at all, and I don't think anyone in the Bronx feels any differently than I do.
Well, I mean, there's good news and bad news. The good news is you're getting ready to face the Twins, and they don't look that much better. The bad news about this has kind of been going on for a little bit. They got off to a bad start, and they got hot, and now they're kind of with some. And now they got some guys hurt too. As you said, everybody can say that, but they got some of their guys back. And they have seemingly, and it could just be that they ran into a buzzsaw in Boston, right? Because they did take 2 of 3 from Tampa, who is a very good team there. They split their series with Tampa. It was a 4-game set, but they played well in that series. And so I don't want to completely shut the door on the Yankees at this point. We're only in June, but there's certainly a lot of things to be worried about it. And number one, I think aside from the health is the pitching. They just, as you mentioned, Gerrit Cole's last outing wasn't that great. And he's got to be the ace for that squad. He's got to be able to stop bleeding in, especially as they're trying to figure out who they are offensively, right? I think they were a team that hit the long ball, but they have their share of punch outs. Now it seems like they're not hitting the long ball and they have more strikeouts. And I think that's a problem for them.
Yeah, and this is a team that has some of the biggest power hitters of the last decade, and they're just not putting it together. Guys are not getting on base. You know, DJ LeMahieu is one of the best, you know, pure hitters in the game, and even he's struggling not playing his normal game. It's just not – this is not the Yankees that you were expecting to see. We were expecting to see this team absolutely dominate this division. We were expecting nothing out of the Red Sox at all, and the Red Sox right at the top of this division, only one game behind the Rays – who last week in our power rankings we agreed are the best team in baseball right now. What is your take on Aaron Boone? For instance, yesterday, balls and strikes, tough balls and strikes. We saw a strike 3 call on Odor that was absolutely ridiculous, and not much out of Aaron Boone. But however, his bench coach went crazy and got tossed for the second time this week. What's it going to take to get these guys up, get them motivated? Something we've seen a lot of fire out of Aaron, Aaron Boone over the years. What are we seeing right now? What is this subdued version? Somebody even said this has been a very Wilpon-y type of Yankees.
Yeah, you know what? My first instinct wonders if this is a part of, you know, the health scare he had, where maybe he's trying to take it a little easy. I don't know how that necessarily mixes with being the Yankee manager. If that's the case, that may not be the case at all. Maybe he didn't find whatever it was upsetting. I didn't see the call that you're referring to, but I've read a lot about it, and it seems like it was pretty atrocious. And we've seen Boone get out there and really get after an umpire. I think we had one of the epic takedowns of an umpire in quite some time when he was talking about his guys being savages in the box. So
single greatest quote by a manager of the last 20 years. I believe the quote. And pardon my crudeness, and I'm going to drop a little profanity here. I believe the direct quote, "My guys are fucking savages in the box." That was a real quote. Real quote said out loud, and I loved it.
I'm not gonna lie, I wish I was still in uniform when had a manager that dropped that. That would have had me going so much. But that's my point is that is what we've seen from him before. So to see this subdued Aaron Boone, it does raise your antennas a little bit, especially when they haven't been as consistent of a team that I think everybody expected coming into the season.
Well, we're looking at this team right now. They're only two games over 500, but they're only 6.5 back. Like you said, it's June. They can go on a massive tear and run. But what changes this team need to make going forward? I immediately, first thing I look at, obviously, pitching. This team's pitching is just not there. Gerrit Cole can only throw once a week. And like you said, he got hit around the other day. And Gerrit Cole, unfortunately, he's in a position that he cannot get hit around at all, especially with the way this team is playing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think it's pretty obvious. It starts at the pitching, right? I think they took some flyers on some guys going into this season. Talian was one of them. Still don't know what they're going to get from him. And listen, they're still a little banged up in the starting rotation as well. So if they're going to get better, they're going to have to start hitting. That's the number one thing. But the thing right behind that is it's going to be starting pitching. This could be a team that is in the market to upgrade that rotation some way, somehow.
There is a name that keeps popping up in my head, and there's one name that I think everyone is going to be after and throwing prospects at: the Washington Nationals, Max Scherzer. What jersey is he going to be wearing this second half of the season? I would not be shocked if it was a New York Yankee jersey.
Listen, it's hard to say because I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Yankee jersey either. I think you can never be surprised if it's a Yankee or a Dodger jersey, right? Because they tend to be in the mix for these type of players come this time of year. But there is an element of me that isn't sure Washington yet recognizes what's in front of them.
Really?
I say that because their GM is pretty – Rizzo's one of those type of guys that – it's going to be tough to get by the time the end of July rolls through. They're going to have to be way out of it for him to concede. We've seen this kind of play out beforehand with the Nationals. And so I just think he's one of those type of guys that, you know, it's going to take them being way out of the race for them to concede. And I'm not sure, based on how everybody's playing in the National League East, that they're going to be way out of the race by that time.
You know, you're not wrong. The National League East is a division where everyone is under 500 with the exception of the Mets. And yeah, the Nats are in last place, but it is not out of the realm of possibility that they can make a run as well. We saw what happened 2 years ago, but you know, that was purely
different
lightning
team
in a bottle. Yeah, and a different team. We've never really seen such a comeback like that. I can't imagine it happening again, especially looking at the team they're rolling out there right now. They just don't seem – there just doesn't seem to be any fire or magic to this ball club like there was 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. They haven't looked good at all, and they still got some – they got some good players over there, and you're right. There just doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency at all. We'll see if Rizzo gets to the point where he's ready to move a guy like Scherzer. You know, you could get a whole lot back for him, but part of me thinks you get a whole lot of back. A whole lot of part of me thinks that maybe you don't, because teams are smarter now. They know if they don't have a legitimate chance to re-sign him and bring him back, they're not going to be willing to just give away the best currency and the highest currency in the game, which is prospects. So it'll be interesting to see how this folds. And that's part of the reason why I think Rizzo may not do it, is because the value won't be back. Be what he wants to get back, and so he'll just sit on it.
Possibly. I don't know. I just think there's too many teams that are going to want him. I think the San Francisco Giants is another team that immediately comes to my mind. I think they could be a potential sweepstakes for Max Scherzer.
Listen, even in
a rental.
If a team feels like they have a legitimate chance to re-sign him and bring him back, I can totally pick up what you're putting down. It's just those teams that know they don't have a chance to bring him back and are in contention to get into the playoffs. I'm not sure they're going to be willing to mortgage what they have in their future, especially in today's game, if they don't think they have a legitimate chance to bring him back.
I can see that. I don't see a CC Sabathia to the Milwaukee Brewers
situation
coming up.
Right,
I definitely don't. I agree with you on that. But other teams in the league that are starting to heat up with some teams still standing pat in their situation – the Cincinnati Reds have won four in a row, and you know, this is a team that we've talked about a little bit, being a team that can offensively can be very dynamic, but have really not lived up to their potential thus far, especially this last year and a half. But is this a team that you think can really make a run for this division? Because this is a division, the NL Central, that is very intriguing. Right now, you got the Brewers, and you have not been quiet, and I haven't been quiet, that we both agree that this is a playoff team. The Cubs playing out of their mind lately with a lot of different ball players. You got to hand them, give them a lot of credit for how they played. They're in second place. They're tied for first with the Brewers. The biggest question so far to me has been the Cardinals. This is a team that I think should be dominating this division, and they just are not. What do you think the Reds need to do to actually climb the ladder a little bit in this division?
I think they got to get better at the starting pitching standpoint. Castillo's not having the type of year that we're used to seeing him have in terms of his numbers. Offensively, you thought that they could be all right. We saw him in spring quite a bit. And you could see the makings, and we didn't get to see Winker that much. But I tell you what, I enjoy watching that guy hit, man. He can rake. He generates some serious leverage with his height through the zone, and the ball comes off like a rocket. And he's just a straight-up good hitter. He'll shoot you to left. He can do a little bit of it all. You got him and Nick Castellanos really battling it out at the top for league leaders in hitting right now. I like what they can put together offensively. The question is, can that bullpen hold up, and do they have enough starting pitching in that division where you got some good teams? The Cubs, Padres have seen them. They're going to see them again starting tonight. We've seen the Brewers twice already. We've had the Corbin Burns experience, which ain't all that fun. Which, by the way, Padres have seen those two guys, Bauer, Kershaw, Walker Buehler, and as those guys have pitched well against them, and I'm telling you, that's how impressive DeGrom was. Nobody was even close to his performance. Sorry to go back, but it just crossed my mind. But back to the Reds. I think that's where the question is, right? Starting pitching, bullpen, can they add? Do they have enough to compete in that division? Because as you said, the Cubs playing good, Brewers are playing good, Cardinals kind of just treading water there. You know, eventually they'll start to play good baseball. And that could be what we thought the NL East was going to be this year.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. But I'm looking at the schedule coming forward with the Cardinals right now. They're a team that I think has got, I wouldn't say an easy month ahead of them. They got, three games coming up against the Cubs. But then they got the Marlins, the Braves, who have just not played up to their potential either as well coming in. Then the Tigers and Pirates. I think the Cardinals are in a position really to really gain some wins here and make some serious way in the NL Central. What do you think about that?
I think it's always possible, right? I think there are certain brands you trust in. Cardinals is one of them, right? You just feel like eventually they get it going. They got the right kind of leadership in that organization, and they were the team to me to start the season. It was them and the Brewers, and now we're finding out the Cubs are actually for real. The Reds have gotten hot. Not sure if that's sustainable, but listen, I like the offense that the Cardinals have. You know, Dylan Carlson, Nolan Arenado, Tommy Edman. I mean, they got a lot of good players offensively. I'm skeptical that they score enough in that division. Considering some of the plays, I'm not sure that they put up runs consistently enough. They're still missing DeJong, who's gone, who's injured right now. So they're not whole yet until they get him back. But I am a little skeptical. I like the Brewers, as you and I have both talked about. I like the Brewers in this division a little bit better than I like the Cardinals.
I think, initially I just loved the Cardinals, but you might be swaying me. Those Brewers are just – they're just an annoying team. They don't go away.
Yeah, now Yelich, Christian Yelich is starting to swing the bat again. And that was the thing that was starting to worry me a little bit. He was injured, then he was back. He was still finding his rhythm. He's starting to get going, and we've seen him. He's an MVP-type player. When he's going, that offense is just completely different.
And, we're talking a lot about the National League Central, and, we haven't even really mentioned the Cubs, who are currently tied with first place with the Brewers. Yeah. And how about Patrick Wisdom this week? What, 7 bombs this week? Let's go!
He got the Padres for 3 of them, I think, in the series in Chicago. And listen, man, I never heard of Patrick Wisdom until the Padres rolled in there, and I came away thoroughly impressed with that young man at third. He can play some third. He's an offensive threat in that lineup. Can he sustain it? I think we'll find out. He's going to certainly get the opportunity to do it. And listen, Rizzo starting to get it going. He's been banged up. They're still missing Hayward out there. He's been banged up. And that team, listen, they're champions. They got a lot of champions still on that roster. And you know, we were just talking about a team that doesn't have with the Nationals that doesn't play with a lot of passion. That's not, you can't say that about the Cubs. They're playing with that type of passion. You see Rizzo and Contreras mixing it up in the dugout. Those kind of scuffles, as Cody, you can attest to, happen really all the time. It happened at least a couple times a year. And that's usually a sign of some life, especially for a team like that and those two particular players. And then they bounce back and win the next couple games in that Giants series. So yeah. I like where the Cubs are at right now.
Me too, but I keep thinking one thing. How much better would this team be
with you, Darvish?
Why? Why isn't he there? What did they do?
It's hilarious that you brought that up. Me and my partner Jesse Agler were talking about that during the game the other day. It was like, well, certainly appreciate the Cubs handing them over this way, because they would be really tough to deal with if they had you still. And I think they thought they were punting on the season, and they would it would just be an easy kind of, you know, separation between them and their free agents to be. But the free agents to be are making it difficult because they're out there playing some good ball, and now all of a sudden this team is sitting atop first. It's going to be hard for the Cubs brass to convince the fans in Chicago that it's better to just punt on this year come deadline time when they need to add something or a piece, and they can, and they decide not to. That's gonna be a tough sell for the folks in Chicago.
You know what they should? You know who they should trade for?
Who?
You, Darvish.
Nah, there's no shot they're getting you, Darvish.
Oh God! Well, we mentioned some teams. We mentioned that I just mentioned a minute ago that I think the Cardinals are a team that could make a big run this month. I did mention last week a team that I thought was going to get their act together, and that's the Minnesota Twins. And guess what? I was wrong. Man, oh man, they are terrible. What the hell happened in Minnesota?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, this team, I mean, obviously a lot has gone wrong. They haven't pitched well. They haven't hit at all. But you wouldn't have been able to convince me that before the season. You just wouldn't. I thought this team would be taking a step forward, adding some defense like Andrelton Simmons. But it just has not worked out the way they were expecting it to work out.
They're in last place in the division.
They're in last place by a large spot, too.
Yeah, and they dropped 2-3 to the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, they cannot compete right now. And I normally don't say this in June, but it might be time for these guys to start planning selling really soon and start planning for the future, because there is no way they're coming back in this division.
Well, you know the Sharks are already circling, right? It's June. Teams have already started to identify the Twins as one of those teams that could be a seller. And they got a lot to sell. So, I mean, listen, they could get fat during this time of the year if they choose to go that route. I don't know that they could make a good argument for not going that route, though. I mean, they sit in last place, but tied with the Detroit Tigers for last in the American League Central at 24-35. They're 12 out from the White Sox. I only see that getting larger. I don't see it getting closer at this point. There's nothing they've shown this year that says they got a chance to close the gap. They're 5-5 in their last 10. So that means they're actually playing better baseball in the last 10 than they were previous. And I just don't see that continuing.
Me neither. I think it's time for them to look at it. Like you said, they have a lot of pieces to sell that they can be right back in this division within 2 years. That's how much they have to sell at the moment. Yeah. But it's just a bit of a disappointment. You got a feel for fans in Minnesota. They thought they were going to have themselves a World Series contending team. And just, you know, we talked about how things have been going in New York and the Bronx. The Bronx, the Yankees, they're about to face the Twins. And if one thing we know, death, taxes, and the Yankees always beat the Twins.
Yeah, I mean, we also know the Twins have a hard time getting out of the first round. It's just no matter who they play. So, I just don't see a lot of hope for this Twin team. And I see a lot of teams being able to be benefactors of the Twins selling. I mean, who wouldn't want to add a guy like Nelson Cruz? Who wouldn't want to add a guy like Josh Donaldson? I mean, there are some guys that can seriously help some contenders down the stretch. And as I said, the Twins are going to be in position. And listen, you'll be able to keep enough young of your young guys that are on that big league roster that, as you said, they can compete again with the type of guys they can bring back from these trades within the next couple of years. So I think that's the way that the Twins should go. Will they go that way? We'll have to find out.
You mentioned Nelson Cruz. There's a team right now in the American League West that I definitely could see him fitting in. That is the Houston Astros. Can you imagine that team adding that bat in the lineup?
No, I can't. We saw them. We saw them for three, and they are offensively they're as good as it gets. I mean, Altuve's back swinging it. Bregman's doing his thing as always. Correa's swinging the bat really well. He seems to be healthy now too. If you add a guy like the year they added Verlander, it was like, this could turn it. This could turn into trouble. If they added a guy like Cruz in that stadium, right-handed, are you kidding me? He would make it's already it's called Minute Maid Little League Park basically for a reason. He would make that thing look smaller. He really would.
He would make one thing that it'll immediately do, it would make me look at the A's and make me wonder what they can pull off. Because if Nelson Cruz went to a team like the Astros, the A's are in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because there's not a lot of separation between those two teams. And I tell you what, the Astros got some really good young pitching. And they've been, they've been banged up as well. And yet they've been able to stay right there. They're one out of first place right behind Oakland. Nelson Cruz is worth that one game. He's worth more than that one game. So I don't know what Oakland could do. We know they're not really the type of team that's going to go out and spend during that time of year. But they would have to do something. I don't know what it is, but they'd have to do something for sure.
Well, I got a question for you. We talked about the Twins. We think we both agree that the Twins, we expected them to be winning. Terrible year. Most likely going to be the first sellers in baseball. What team has completely shocked you this year? Because not just the Twins, there's another team that has just shocked me, but in the complete different direction, and that is the Boston Red Sox. I did not expect anything out of Boston this year. I expected them to be towards the cellar of the division. Look what we have in Boston. It has just been a blast to watch. Can this team sustain this?
I don't know. I still think the jury's out, but I tell you what, I love Bogaerts, man. I've always been a fan of his. He is just he just kind of does his thing. Like, he is exceptional hitter. He can field. He does so many things so well. He's a good athlete out there. I just enjoy watching. There's something about watching his swing that I can sit back and really watch all day. I don't know if the Red Sox can continue this. I do know that Cora makes a huge difference on that bench. He just does. Those guys seem to love to play for him. He's done a great job since coming back. I think it remains to be seen if they can keep this up. Will they get Sale back in time? How will he look if he does come back? So they could end up adding pieces without even having to make a trade, which is always a bonus. But I still think the team that has been most surprising is the San Francisco Giants. Now, although I was hip to the fact that they would be competitive, I had no idea that they would be sitting 37-22 right now at this point in the season. Even as some of the hot starts that they got from a pitching staff has started to level out, Gosman's still doing his thing, but guys like DeSclafani is starting to kind of come back down to earth a little bit. They're still rolling. They're still finding ways to win games. So it'd be hard to convince me that this is not a true three-team race in the National League West at this point. Because they've been that good.
Yeah, and you've seen guys really stepping up. Guys like Brandon Crawford, who've already had monster years in their career, and we might be seeing the best version of Brandon Crawford.
I think you're right.
And it just so happens to be a contract year. What are the odds of that? I love that.
Isn't that funny how that happens? As soon as the contract year is up, all of a sudden you're getting like the best of the best. A little motivation there, I think.
You see, I never knew that you could do that all the time because I never got to have a contract year because I was mostly in 3A, and quite frankly, every year was a contract year.
That is so true. It's like I don't know if I was ever good enough to just turn it on like that. You know what I'm saying? I definitely wasn't, right?
Yeah, and this, I mean, I also think you got to give a little bit of credit to Gabe Kapler. He's done a hell of a job over there in San Francisco. It's been just, they're a fun team to watch. And like you said, yeah, it's the West Coast baseball this year is the best baseball. We got the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres, and it's only going to get better.
I totally agree. I think Gabe has done a terrific job. I think he's gotten those guys to buy in because they don't play like a regular style of baseball that we see. They're hyper-aggressive when it comes to if you make a pitching change in the third or fourth and they had lefties matching up against your righty and you bring a lefty in, they will take out everybody they can and bring in a righty and line their line and get their lineup the matchups they want. And Gabe is very aggressive with it, and it works. And as long as they continue to get the bullpen that they have all season, and those starters continue to pitch at the level. And listen, as I said, some of them have started to come back to earth, but they are still winning games. So they're pitching well enough. They're hitting enough. Some of those old dogs, if you will, have started to come back and play some of their best baseball. And so, I like I said, I think the Giants are for real.
I agree with you, and I can't wait to see where this goes, especially when we get towards the trade deadline. Like you mentioned, the Dodgers are a team you know is always going to be in that trade deadline, looking for new arms, maybe another bat. Never know what the Padres are going to do with A.J. Preller at the helm. He might just bring in a whole new team. He might just add the Detroit Tigers somehow. And, you know, the Giants are a team that are just primed to make some moves. I don't know. This is going to be real interesting come the end of July, and I'm pretty fired up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun baseball to watch. Summer's going to get hot. Hopefully these bats wake up. We've gone from the possibly the worst offense in the history to the second worst. We want to keep moving up that ladder. But certainly this is going to be a fun summer to watch baseball.
I agree with you, man. Well, we're going to be with you all summer long talking about it right here on Big Time Baseball. Tony, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Tony Gwynn Jr. He's at Decker6. And now you can follow this show on Twitter as well. Check us out at RDC_BTV. That's Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Tony, can't wait to do this again. Let's do it. Let's enjoy more baseball. And, man, we'll be back here next week. Cannot wait, dude.
Yes, sir. See you next week.
Later, brother.